Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including our interview with former Giants shortstop Royce Clayton. That just happened at 12:30. Also, tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Hey, fellas, real quick before we get into this Shasky shuffle, I just want to take a minute to thank the advertisers who stuck with us through this incredibly difficult time during this pandemic. First of all, I want to shout out Comcast, Fremont Bank, and Chilton Auto Body for sticking with us, fellas.
Yeah, and I'm gonna come at you with Golden State Lumber. We want to thank them, O'Donnell Financial Group, and this one specifically for you, Bonte, perhaps, Shreve & Company. If you're looking for a beautiful piece of jewelry, maybe you've got a proposal in your future. So thank you to those three groups, but particularly Shreve & Company.
It couldn't hurt.
All right, well, then I'm going to shout out my particular car insurance company, Geico. I do the automatic deductions, the payments every month. Geico, fantastic job. Safeway, who doesn't utilize
there
Safeway?
You go.
Westlake, yep. The one on Monterey, obviously the one on Terre
Ocean Nova, Beach.
A bunch of those. Ocean Beach, yes, definitely. And not just any video company. Video only, okay? Let's not forget them. Excellent job by all three of those companies. Those are my shout-outs.
Absolutely. Want to just thank all those advertisers who have stuck with us here at 95.7 The Game during this pandemic. You guys are truly rock stars. Chilton Auto Body, Comcast, Fremont Bank, all you guys here, all you advertisers, thank you so much for sticking with us here. And Steiny, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little excited about Shasky Shuffle. That's the one thing about bringing in Joe Shasky. We get a little Shasky Shuffle. Hey, Shasky, take it away.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready to do some rummaging.
Real quick, here's why I'm ready, because I think last time we did this, we had an idea of the sport, and this one's just, this could be anything. I'm just hoping you don't go like San Francisco Spiders hockey.
Oh, we talked about that last week when we were discussing Cal Palace and its significance here in Bay Area lexicon. Steiny, you just have to
go to the Spiders jersey.
Go to that rewind button on radio.com, and you can find the Butcher Shop with Covey and Shasky, and maybe you'll learn some stuff about the Cow Palace. But do we have the sound, boys? Let's have me rummage into the pile here right now. I'm rummaging. No hockey. No NFL. No NBA, Steiny. Here we go. 1998. Collector's Choice. This is a special one. Upper Deck, Willie McGee from the St. Louis Cardinals. Gentlemen.
Okay. Love me some Willie McGee. I think he was only a Giant for, what, 2 years, maybe, Shasky? Two years or maybe three? Yeah. Willie McGee was one of my favorite Giants.
I don't remember what happened to him. I just remember him being part of the 93 team, yes. And it always seemed like he was at the plate with runners on first and third, two outs, and he always came through in the clutch. I know he's a World Series champion with those St. Louis Cardinals, played with those great teams with Ozzie Smith, yes. And Vince Coleman and Terry Pendleton. They were really, really good in the 80s. Beat the Giants in the 87 National League Championship Series. Willie McGee, I don't know what happened to him after his career with the Giants, but he was a really good Giant.
Steiny, you got anything on Willie McGee?
I do, and I'll tell you why. Here's what I got on Willie McGee. I'm pretty sure he was on the Cardinals team in which Tommy Herr had the most RBIs ever in a season with the fewest home runs.
Hmm? Yep.
And it was because Willie McGee had to be batting before him. In fact, I like to come up with that those numbers exactly how they are. Although I can't, I'm getting Tommy Herrera for some reason.
Did he have like 96 RBI or something? Tommy Herrera.
He had over 100. Yeah.
Okay. He was on that team that lost to the Twins, Shasky, in the World Series in '87.
When I look
okay, here you go. Real quick, Tommy Herr. 8 home runs. This was 1985. Tommy Herr, 8 homers, 110 RBIs.
Ah, the cocaine Cardinals of 1985. Okay. Gotta love that team. All right. Real quick on Willie McGee. Number one, local boy. Obviously, Richmond High School, if I'm not mistaken, or from a high school in Richmond. And very unique batting stance. Used to have the hands way back, almost like Alan Trammell. Switch hitter. Mm-hmm. Came to the Giants after he was a hated Cardinal for so long. Was an awesome right fielder defensively. Hit for average. Decent speed. Horrific 1994 injury against the Pittsburgh Pirates where he dove into the wall. His foot was out, and he tore the ankle. If I'm not mistaken, it was an Achilles injury, but I don't even know if they designated that as such. And because of that injury in 94, they bring in the strawberry patch, Daryl Strawberry, to make that team in 94. But Willie McGee was a great Giant. He ended up bouncing around after that, had another stint with the Cardinals. He was a great Giant, though. I mean, I'm telling you, all-around player. I mean, wanted him in the two-hole at the top of a lineup because he had great back control. He'd get on base. He could go first to third. I was a big Willie McGee fan.
I loved him.
How about this? He was the MVP in 1985.
Was he?
He was the most valuable player in the National League. He led the league in hits with 216. Wow. I love these numbers. 26 doubles, 18 triples, which led the league. 10 homers, 82 RBIs were the runs. 114 runs, obviously. 56 steals. 56 steals. Wow. So that was an MVP year for Willie McGee. He could fly.
Man, I'm looking at his pictures here, just Baseball Reference and some of the images. Willie McGee, it was funny with him. He always kind of looked like he was asleep, right? He was just kind of like
Sam Perkins.
Chilling.
He was the baseball Sam Perkins.
He had that chill look to him, and even at the plate, nothing ever really got to him. 3-time Gold Glove winner. Damn, I didn't know he was the MVP, Steiny. That's a good pull there. No, I loved him with the Giants. I don't remember that injury in 1994. I don't remember it. I do remember Strawberry being on the Giants, and they were making that run right before the strike happened in early August. Matt Williams obviously had, 43 home runs at the strike. Barry Bonds had 37. It was the first year, fellas, of the wild card because the Giants had won 103 the year before, and they were like, well, two playoff teams. No, we got to get a wild card. This isn't fair. So that was the first year of the wild card. This strike happened in early August.
Well, and Montreal had one of the best records in baseball. I mean, that team was absolutely loaded. You just go back and look at that roster. It's a who's who of guys from
Larry
the 90s.
Walker.
The thing with Willie McGee, too, Steiny, is that the Giants ended up having a revolving door in right field after Willie McGee exited, and they were looking for the next Willie McGee. Jose Cruz Jr., they thought, was the next Willie McGee. Wow. Great defensively, switch hitter, real good plus arm, and then we know they had Reggie Sanders and so many different guys.
Ellis Burks.
Out in right field, Ellis Burks as well. But Willie McGee was... And he's one of those guys, when you think of like late 80s, early 90s batting stances, when you're playing strikeouts in the back or front yard with your brothers and your cousins, everybody had a Willie McGee batting stance in their repertoire of players that they would go to.
All right, here's one. Because now I just got to thinking about it. So he led the league in triples 1 year with 18. This is an unbelievable question. So I'm looking at the all-time single-season leaders for triples in a season, okay?
Oh,
so, but every player with 24 or more triples in a season played 1930 or before. So, who has the most triples in a season in the modern era?
Ichiro.
That's incorrect.
Most triples?
And it happened in 2007.
Brian Giles? Brian Giles?
No, it's...
No, not Brian Giles. Can I get a guess, guys?
Yeah.
Jeez. Sorry. Nah, I don't even... It's got to be... I'm going Juan-Pierre now. Screw it. I feel like it is Juan-Pierre. Or no. I'm going to go Luis Castillo of the Marlins. Luis Castillo of the Marlins.
He was a slap hitter.
Nope.
He had speed, though. He had a lot of speed.
Curtis Granderson.
Whoa, Candyman! The Granderson man.
23 triples in 2007.
Steiny, is that the year? Is that the year he went 20-20-20-20? He had 20 homers, 20 triples, 20 doubles, and 20 stolen bases?
I'm going to say it must have been. But even after him, these are all 1911, 1920, 19. It's incredible.
You know why the triple was much more prevalent before actual stadiums were built? Because they didn't have walls. And
that's
you just,
right.
Like softball.
Great call.
You just hit it and run, and they had a rope, and then the fans would have to like back up with the rope. And then don't forget when they started to have actual stadiums, you had places like the Polo Grounds with 580 feet in center field because it was built like a square. So the dimensions were all funky back then.
Curtis Granderson.
Struggling to remember this guy a little bit. Lance Johnson?
Oh, Lance Johnson. I remember.
Competitor.
You're thinking
Lance
Berkman.
Johnson, 22.
I'm thinking Lance Berkman.
Lance Johnson with 22 triples in 96?
Was he an Expo?
21 triples.
Was he an Expo?
Lance Johnson played for the White Sox for most of his career, and then the Cubs a little bit. Yeah, he led the league. Actually, Lance Johnson led the league in triples five times.
Wow.
21-9.
Congratulations.
I'm pretty sure George Brett had a 20-triple year one year, believe it or not. There it is. George Brett, 1979. Willie Wilson, 1985
20.
With 21.
We're not going to see a lot of triples this year, fellas. No.
Well,
forget the baseball part. I'm talking about Triples Alley is no more. I mean, it's like a bullpen.
Well, not only that, I'd like to know... I'll tell you, it would be a good stat is to find out in all these bandbox stadiums if triples have gone down.
Yes.
Probably.
Well,
with all the shifting in the outfield, and they're shifting so much that they're taking away, they're playing the percentages, basically. And I think that does take away from the triples aspect because guys are in position to take that extra base away.
I was going to say, with the quirky fences in like San Diego, and you had it in Houston, obviously Comerica and Detroit, they've done away with a lot of the quirks. Like there was very weird little angles and things like that. San Diego has changed their fence, I think, three different times since the stadium's opened to try to reduce the amount of horrible ball angles. That's why I had Brian Giles, because I know one year he hit four or five balls that just took a weird hop off that right field wall in San Diego.
Well, what it's done is make the home run. They moved the defenses, especially Comerica, because they were complaining about the lack of home runs. Yeah. Guys wanted to hit home runs, and they're like, well, we're hitting at the right center, and right center is like 425 feet away. This isn't fair, so they moved the fences in. Astros just did that last year with the little bump out there. But, yeah, no, there's not too many quirks in these new stadiums anymore.
Can you guys name, besides Miguel Cabrera, can you name a Detroit Tiger, Major League Baseball's worst team?
Last year's team?
Just in general. Detroit Tiger.
They have a guy named Sean Green, pitcher. I don't know. Green. they had a guy they traded to the Cubs? What's the guy they traded to the Cubs last year? They traded him to the Cubs.
B, this is my point,
I don't even know.
You could name the whole infield from 1992, but you can't name one 2019 or 2020 Detroit Tiger?
That's rap baseball.
You know what? That's legitimate. That's legitimate. By the way, you were talking about, I was thinking what Bonte said, when they had the hill out in center field in Houston.
Yes.
Yankee Stadium used to have monuments in the field in deep left center.
That was crazy.
It didn't happen a lot, but if you ripped one into the gap, it could get behind they look like tombstones, essentially.
Yes, they did.
Like rectangular tombstones. But, you know, that was – it was like 457 out there, and they were in play.
What's going to happen to Oracle Park now? Now with the bullpens moving from the field to the outfield, how many dimensions? Have we seen the new outlook yet? Because
yes.
I forgot we're going to have the bullpens in right center and left center. How's that going to look, and how's that going to play at Oracle Park?
The way it's designed,
get out of here!
I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. I mean, how many Brandon Belt dead center home runs?
Yeah.
I mean, this argument that Brandon Belt needs to hit home runs in AT&T Park, like he's getting robbed left and right. Are his splits so egregious to where he's got 40 jacks on the road, he's only got 7 at home, something's going on here. I don't want to buy that. Real quick on the tombstone thing in Yankee Stadium, I always found it absurd when Roger Clemens would like sit and like pray to the old Yankees before he'd run out onto the field, and he'd like kiss the headstones of all the different statues. It's like, Roger, everybody knows you're only in this for yourself. You didn't even report on days you weren't pitching. You weren't even sitting in the dugout, and you're out here like praising Jesus next to the Babe Ruth statue. Like, I don't know. He's such a fraud.
The one thing with Roger Clemens, I remember, is when he did come back with the Yankees, and he was working out, I think, at the University of Kentucky. And he's working out with these college kids in full Yankee gear. Full Yankee gear to show these kids up. And it's like, Roger, just throw on some regular baseball pants and a t-shirt. He had the blue Yankee practice jersey with the pinstripe pants and was just throwing gas at these kids. Roger, you talk about a guy who's been forgotten about. That's the thing with all these steroid guys. They just kind of disappear. They just all like, what's Roger Clemens doing these days? Just disappeared off the face of the earth.
We'll see him on a Coppertone commercial with Jerry and Brett Favre one of these days.
Clemens is a Red Sox, period.
Toronto Blue Jay. Yeah.
Didn't end well in
Houston
Boston.
Houston Astro.
Yeah.
Didn't end well in Boston.
No, it did not.
Didn't end well in Boston.
He was finished.
And he had a rough, rough Wolves that year against Dave Stewart where he got ejected out of the game. Guy came out wearing eye black. Was it 88 or 89? He came out of the Coliseum. He was wearing eye black and he got ejected out of the game going up against Stu. Yeah, nobody – I don't think Boston loves Roger Clemens like that anymore. Did he, like, take shots at the organization when he left and then went to Toronto and kind of revived himself?
Well, they
I just remember he threw the broken bat at Piazza.
Oh, that was great. That was absolutely great. That was hilarious. And again, the bat exploded, and he threw it back at him like he had done something to him.
Right.
The whole thing was completely absurd. Clemens, this thing people forget, Clemens with Jeff Kent and Andy Pettit on that Astro team, that team was loaded. That Astro team that went to the World Series, and they were all like 43 years old, and no one questioned anything. That team was loaded. He's still to this day, though. I think his is the worst excuse in sports. My wife was the one taking the HGH for a swimsuit cover. That's worse than the Ryan Braun trying to rat out the urine sample collector.
Right.
What's the worst excuse? You think that's the worst excuse?
Yes.
Like, I look at Sammy Sosa going to Congress and all of a sudden needed a translator. He all of a sudden needed a translator. That was a bad look. Or Mark McGwire fake crying on the stand saying, you know, it's for the kids and what we're doing for the kids. And, you know, where's the Steiny drop? The hell with the kids, Mark McGwire. Get out of here with the fake crying.
Is there one thing, the kids.
There you go. Is there one thing from old school baseball that you guys would want implemented in today's game? What is the one thing that you miss the most about 80s and 90s baseball? Steiny, you could take it to the 70s, back to the Yankees of the 70s or the 80s.
In this joke of an era, let's raise the mound back up.
Agreed.
Let's do that.
I like that.
Real quick, you know what's funny? Is baseball's got a million ways to address stuff if they want to. First thing they should do is expand the damn strike zone. That's the first thing they should do. Games will go faster. I think they'll be more exciting.
Well, that's the one thing. If you're watching this 98 doc, notice how many guys are swinging at letter high fastballs.
Right? Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. No, I'm serious.
No joke.
Like you had to swing at the high pitch. You don't get that. That one right underneath the arms now to a righty. If you're a left-handed pitcher, you don't get that. And it changes the game. You're up there. You're tap dancing to try to get a strike. I agree with you, Steiny. Widen that thing out. Here's the thing I want. I want the pullover jerseys from the late 80s, early 90s. Like the Cubbies had some sweet pullover. Cardinals had some pullover jerseys. The Royals had them. Bring me those back.
the baby blue. The baby blue jerseys that the Phillies had, the Royals had, the Rangers. Those are pretty damn sweet. I like those.
I like the vests, you know, like
me too.
You know, you wear a shirt, you wear a regular like long sleeve turtleneck, and then you wear the vest over it.
Were the Reds the first team? Was the Reds the first team with that, or the Mariners? Because remember Griffey, the Seattle, when they reinvigorated their uniform design, they had those ugly, god-awful uniforms. And then Griffey starts coming up, and then A-Rod and Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. They had some sweet vests with the T-shirt underneath as well.
Well, that was the redos in the 90s. I'm talking about back in the 60s, the Reds had the Frank Robinson ones where, you know, the cut sleeves, and then they wear basically the baseball shirt that we're all accustomed to, the three-quarter sleeve with just solid colors and then white on the inside. They wore those underneath those jerseys. Pirates had them, too, during Roberto Clemente era. Everybody went to those. I actually thought the Diamondback ones with the turquoise were sweet.
Yeah.
Purple and turquoise.
Yeah.
What do you think? Of the it was crazy at the time, the Houston Astros unis when they went to the stripes with Enos Pavel.
I liked them.
Man, they were different at the time, boy. There were a lot of people that really didn't like that whole idea, and then the Padres essentially kind of did it too.
Well, the Padres need to go back to the brown, and they're going back to the brown whenever we resume baseball. But I don't know why
brown
they ever
orange.
Went to the navy blue, to the blue and the little orange. The Padres, I know a lot of people don't like the brown uniforms, but that was the Padres.
No,
that was different.
That's the one for them.
Go to the Browns.
And if you're being, going with the actual name, Padres wore brown overalls or brown, like the brown Pope outfit, if you will.
The
church outfit. Thank you. I was trying to think of what the name was. It's like a Jedi turban.
Yeah, the dude had a halo over his head.
Yes,
in the insignia. Yeah, he's swinging a bat.
Right. those are sweet. Those are sweet. Glad they're going back to brown. Good for you, San Diego Padres. Now, it's a lot of fun. Hey, let's wrap this last segment up. We'll talk a little more baseball here. 98, long gone summer. Also, get back into basketball. Got another Kendrick Perkins soundbite I want you guys to listen to. Did some random stuff. Hey, Steiny, remember your boy Mike Gundy? He's back in the news again. I'll bring up some news.
He's an older man now.
Yeah, he's an older man, and he's not a very smart man. I'll tell you why.
Liar!
On the other side. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. That's all sponsored by DuckDuckGo. Fed up with the company selling your data. DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online with one download. You can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Guru out on vacation, Shasky in. They will have a different guest every day of the week trying to fill the shoes of Daryl the Guru Johnson here on BSNG. Matt Steinman still in the house, Bonte Hill. And don't forget to download the radio.com app. Search 95.7 The Game and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second whether you're at home, in your car, or at work. Use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Mark McGwire's teammate and former Giant, Jeff Brentley, on with Joe Lo and Dibs this morning at 7:30. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to the phone lines real quick and get Lewis on here from El Cerrito. Wants to talk about the game of baseball here on 95.7 The Game. Lewis, good afternoon. What's on your mind, brother?
Okay, well, I got lots of stuff, but I got to compliment you on the show. I think I listened to you guys quite a bit, and I thought you've had just a great variety of stuff. So first of all, I'll give you a commissioner's name, and it would be Barack Obama. And he has a big interest in sports, likes baseball, although he's more into the NBA. Presidents have been proposed before. And if he didn't want to do it, because I agree wholeheartedly, Manfred needs to be replaced, I'd look for somebody high up in one of the social media companies who has some interest in both baseball and understands that landscape. And then whoever it is, whether it be Obama or somebody else, both players and owners have to agree on it. And I can't give you the exact date, but years ago, the players used to have more say in who the commissioner was. And so that could lead to some trust. two more quick things, and then I'll let you guys respond to me if there's time. I like the idea better of the split season. I agree with Shafsky about you need – the inventory has gotten too much competition. But a split season, maybe fewer games and the winner of each. And this way then you have a lot more variables how a team could get in, and probably going to a three regional division format or something else. I still like American and National League, but I think that's going. And then I wanted to say one other small point that's been brought up a lot when baseball gets criticized, and I understand about NFL and NBA, but one thing about baseball, the NFL treats its players like crap, except for white quarterbacks, pretty much. And if you look at some of the times when big-time players have been cut, they're totally cut loose. They oftentimes don't get health benefits. For all of MLB's problems, at least their players have some guarantees. And I think that's really important, and it can't be overlooked when people like to piss on Major League Baseball for a lot of very good reasons.
Real quick, Bonte, and Matt, I want to get into this real quick on the division. So, like, no one ever talks about this, but this is something that's been driving me nuts since its introduction. When you created the DH, what it did was it created an economic imbalance, because if a guy like JD Martinez becomes a free agent, he's 30 years old, the American League teams have an inherent advantage of offering that guy a contract, knowing that, hey, if he doesn't play right field for 3 or 4 years, well, we can always transition him to DH. So you're going to get just an advantage at those, what I would say, back-end stars or back-end player contracts, because you can always do the, hey, he'll be a DH at the end of his career. That's why Pujols went to the Angels. That's why Pablo Sandoval ended up in the Boston Red Sox, because they were saying, hey, you could be the successor to David Ortiz. So what it's done is it's given an economic advantage to a lot of the teams in the American League, and that's why you see the arms race, and for a variety of reasons, but part of why you see an arms race in the AL East. The other part on the divisions, college football learned this a couple of years back. It's not national. College football is extremely regional. There's the SEC, then there's Clemson, Florida State. You got a little bit of Ohio State and Michigan, but for the most part, it's very, very regional. Baseball is as regional as it gets. It is not a national pastime. I would embrace regionality. I'd have the Angels, the Dodgers, the Giants, the A's, and San Diego with Seattle, pick a couple other teams on the West Coast, all in one division. Sign me up for division games with the A's and the Dodgers and the Angels, the California division. And then you're telling me that whatever the East is with those 10 teams, Maryland, you're going to have obviously the Baltimore Orioles, you're going to have the Nationals, you're going to have the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies, Boston. That division is just built in with piss and vinegar. I mean, that's an unreal division for that entire region. Out here, we've got our division. It would be awesome. And then you actually have some sort of a tournament-style playoff. And like we all agree, tournament baseball is great. That's why the WBC rates so well.
I like the split season idea, because I tell you what, I don't like every league just continuing to expand the playoffs. And even though you may get the same number of teams, at least, you know, one team will have had to have put together a good first half. And it also gives you a chance, you know, maybe you're banged up in the first half of the season and, you know, you go 20 and, you know, you get 25 and 55. All of a sudden you're starting in the, you know, now it's the second season of the split season, you get a big boy back and you got a shot. I would much rather like do it that way, where then you have, okay, who won the divisions in each thing, then you play those two, rather than, well, let's just keep throwing wild cards into the mix.
What if it was playing games or playing series, Stein? Like, not everything has to be a 5 or 7 game series. Can't we have a couple of 3 game sets?
3 game does not bother me in baseball.
No.
I don't like the 1 game baseball playoff.
I don't either.
It's just not built for that.
Nope.
Exactly.
Baseball's not, that's not the kind of sport that is. But 3 games is fine. I like, because that's what they play during the regular season a lot.
Yes.
3-game series.
Right. Yes.
Take 2 out of 3. You know, that's every team's goal when they have a 3-game series. If we can get 2, we're going to win it all. You know, if we get 2 out of 3. So, yeah, I don't mind the 3.
I love the idea. I love the idea of a split season. I think John Smoltz brought this up a couple years ago, you know, implementing the split season schedule. And I think it could be fascinating. It could change the way you look at the trade deadline. It'll change the way teams like maybe the Rays who wins the first half and they're struggling the second half. But you know what? We got a shot to go to the playoffs because we did win the first half. I love that aspect. And then the whole one-game wild card, I'm with you guys. It's a joke. Team goes out there, wins 98 games, grinds in August during the dog days, grinds in September. You get, you know, you pop champagne for winning the wild card and being a participant in the wild card game. And then 1 game in 9 innings, you could be done. I don't like that either. 3-game series here. One inning could be done. Yeah, look at I know the Braves weren't in the wild card last year, but they're in the division series. Game 5, first inning, it's over. Cardinals score, 8-9 runs in an inning? Boom, you're out of there. But 1-game playoff, yeah, I'm out on that, especially in a sport like baseball. It just doesn't make any sense after a 162-game schedule.
Well, and the whole point is finding the best team, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to qualify the best teams for the playoffs. A 1-game sample doesn't even allow me to get to my second starter or my third starter. Like, this is about building the best 25-man roster. That's why the A's went with the starter a few years back. It's like, this is our best shot to win this 1 game because we had to burn a bunch of our better arms building up to this. It sucks. And to your point, like, think about it, like, Pirates a few years back when Bumgarner and beat them and Crawford ended up hitting that grand slam, the Giants burned Madison Bumgarner in the wild card game and they got to start Johnny Cueto on the road in the divisional round. If it's a 3-game set, you know, they got a little time, they can bring Bumgarner back. And I don't know, it's an inherent disadvantage for everyone involved.
I mean, Cueto did deal in that game, though. He
should have won that game. They lost 1-0.
The mistake Brochy made that year was starting Samardzija on the road.
Now
he started Samardzija it should have been Matt Moore starting in game number 2 on the road instead of Jeff Samardzija. Pitched Jeff Samardzija at Oracle Park, and then you're probably cooking with hot grease there. For the Chilton Autobody text line here, real quick. And Casilla, no doubt about that.
Come on.
Real quick, from the 650. The MLB trade deadline used to be one of the most exciting days of the sports calendar. There's no buzz now. And it did because they extended that sucker all the way to August 31st with this non-waiver deadline. It's just too much. All of a sudden, you get to play 5 months, and then all of a sudden, you get to end of August and say, you know what? Let's make another deal here. I didn't like that either. I thought it watered down the trade deadline. There's no doubt, 650.
The thing with if you add more teams into the playoffs, more markets are relevant toward the end of the year, and you are going to see more movement. And I hear people, teams are going to be more reluctant to move pieces. No, they're not. They're going to get more aggressive because this is their opportunity to actually stay in the race. The Giants did it for 20 years. That's why they had no prospects once they finally started losing in 2015, 2016. Well, I guess they made the playoffs 2016, but you get my point. More markets that are available means more eyeballs watching these sense of urgency games.
Hey, here's something I wanted to bring up. I wanted to just thank Joe Shasky for being in here today for Guru, because I was just thinking, and you know this too, Bonte, Guru probably would have watched golf yesterday, Joe, and he would have come out and said, oh, did you see Morikawa and Schauffele? How do you spell it, Schauffele?
Schauffele.
Schauffele. Did you see them choke? Did you just see them choke? Because they miss shorties that were big, but it happens in golf, right?
Oh my God, those both the same hole did a. It was like basically a horseshoe. It came all the way back around. That is one of the most unfortunate things to have happen to you. In the COVID-19 world we live in now, most people would say that that's a gimme because it touched the noodle or the foam that was inside the cup. But this is a tournament. Right. This is the big boy thing now, Steiny. I feel bad for
Xander. You're right.
I'm not going to lie. I had to golf on Thursday. Had the tournament, the Charles Schwab tournament on Thursday on the screen during the show. And it stayed on my screen all day long. I tried to watch it yesterday, and it just – it doesn't do it. I'm sorry, man. People talk about baseball being slow. I mean, I'm sitting there on the couch watching it. The greens look lovely. I need more characters in golf. I need where was Koepka? Was Koepka in this tournament? I didn't see Koepka at all.
He was the only one.
Where's Tiger Woods? Where's Phil Mickelson?
They had a great crew. I mean, their leaderboard was big with big names.
I saw Spieth in there.
Steiny,
I saw George Spieth in there.
I'll ask you, B. Bryson doesn't do it for you? Bryson's nuts.
He's crazy.
I don't know enough
about him. Dibley has basically explained him to me, and Dibley wants me to not like him, so I'm not going to like him.
Oh, I love him. I think he's exactly what the game needs. He's a villain. By the way, you want to talk about steroids? This guy put on 27 pounds of muscle during the quarantine time. He looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Bonte. He's driving the ball 40 yards farther than he did 2 years ago.
The last 30 days.
Boy, I need Tiger Woods, man. I was trying to watch it because I knew Coot Shasky would be in here. I knew Steiny would want to get to the golf. So I tried a little bit of it, and I was just like, man, this ain't it. Give me Tom Brady and Peyton Manning back with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and I'm in. Give me that. Yesterday, it was a great tournament. I know it came down to the 18th hole, but it just wasn't doing it for me, man. It just wasn't.
I get it. I enjoyed it. And the other thing is I can't root for the slowest player on tour.
That's a problem.
Plus, also, and here's the thing I didn't get. I missed this one. Dibley got into DeChambeau's hometown of Clovis. I guess I had the wrong impression of Clovis. I thought it was, just some place like Manteca. I guess it's nice. It's like the Piedmont of Fresno or something.
I had no
idea.
I'm
just saying, it's like the Pacific.
The Piedmont. I thought you were going to go Danville on me at least.
Okay, Danville or Alamo, but I didn't know that. That's what he said.
I don't want to slander Clovis or get everybody ticked off in the Fresno area because. You know, we got listeners down there, and I know Lone Neal is from that area. So, Shask, I'm going to pass that to you. I don't know anything about Clovis.
Did you guys watch UFC on Saturday night?
They have a great football team. I know they have great high school football in Clovis.
Yeah, Clovis West, Clovis East. Yeah, they're pretty – Buchanan High School down in the Fresno area.
No, Joe, I didn't.
Well, I'm ready for Fight Island. It's coming. I'm ready for it. I mean, Dana White is thriving during the quarantine. I mean, this guy's putting on a fight every single Saturday.
How about he pay his fighters?
Cost control.
I mean, man, he's not paying anybody. He does not care about it. I mean, geez, pay these guys. Pay some of your big home run hitters, Dana White. And don't get all defensive when somebody asks you about paying to play. That's the problem with Dana White. I love him as a commissioner. He gets things done. But, man, you talk about a defensive. He gets defenses. If you try to challenge him or ask him anything critically, he gets so defensive, Steiny. He's like, dude, chill out.
I trust Dana White significantly more than I trust Rob Manfred to actually get something done. I mean, at least Dana White's got a pair, and at least he goes out and actually uses them. You may not agree with what he says 9 times out of 10, but at least like the guy is sitting there in front of a microphone taking questions. Rob Manfred, MIA, dude's on a milk carton box right now. You can't find him.
You know what? I wanted to get to this. Yeah, I could tell, Shasky. I think we all. I mean, I don't hate him, but man, you talk about a guy who just whenever he's on your screen, you're just like, all right, just get off the screen, dude. You just look at him. It's like anything that comes out of his mouth, you don't believe. He doesn't say anything with conviction. When Gary Bettman makes you look bad, that's a problem. But hashtag random here. Hashtag random. There's a picture floating around on the internet. Oklahoma State head football coach Mike Gundy. Shasky, the last time you were on with us, we were talking about Mike Gundy when he was talking about Oklahoma State and all his players. Hey, they're young. They can get over COVID-19. Then, of course, two of them test positive a couple weeks ago. Well, he's on this fishing trip. And there's no problem with the fishing trip at all. But he's wearing a shirt, an OAN shirt. And OAN is basically One America Network, which is basically a more whacked out version of Fox News. And so one of his players, Chuba Hubbard, basically tweeted and saw the shirt and said, I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. Mike Gundy, again, doing some things that are pretty silly.
That's just, I mean, good
tone
for
deaf?
Yes, exactly.
I hate,
but they're,
Mike,
you know, Texas is kind of doing the same thing with their players starting to make some demands, like getting rid of the song, I guess, The Eyes of Texas, which, you know, dates far back. And, you know, I guess when you sign on to Texas, you also agree to basically be a PR person where you mingle with you mingle with recruits, obviously, you mingle with alumni, all that kind of stuff. And it's not has nothing to do with likeness, but it's like, that's not what a student athlete should be doing.
I whenever you say mingle with recruits, things, I always think of He Got Game and the program. And
yeah,
some of the scenes. You guys remember those? Blue Chips.
Rick Fox. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Rick Fox. Yes, absolutely. This is what it's like if you come here, Ray Allen, a.k.a. Jesus Shuttlesworth, and we'll get your dad out of prison.
No, yeah, I mean, you talk about that movie, Blue Chips, man. Nick Nolte, Bobby Knight in there, and Bobby Hurley playing on the squad.
Just get me my tractor.
Yeah, give him the tractor. Who was that?
The dad.
What was his name? Lou Rowe. No, what was the player name, though? He was from Indiana, from Fritz Lick. Ricky Rowe. Ricky Rowe was his name.
Ricky
Blue
Rowe.
You a big Blue Chips fan, Stardy?
No, never saw it in its entirety.
What?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Stardy's never watched The Sandlot. Guru what? And Stardy have never watched The Sandlot, Chasky.
Well, Guru is significantly older than what he portrays himself to be, so that doesn't surprise me. If it didn't happen before 79 on television, Guru didn't see it.
Excuse me.
But I gotta ask you, Chasky, have you been listening to Jock Pretty on his show?
Yeah, because Whitey's like my favorite person on that particular segment. So yeah, absolutely, I was listening.
What do you think of Guru's performance?
Sad and full blown denial, deflection. It's every week the excuses are getting cranked up, and they're even more ridiculous than the week prior, to be totally honest with you. And I'm gonna be real, Steiny. You were my favorite to win most weeks, and you've been proving me right.
Oh, Bonte and I are 2-2.
I thought you were 2-1. I didn't know it was 2-2 right now.
Wow.
No, there's been four total. It's two for me, two for Bonte.
And to be honest with you, Shasky.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest with you, Shasky, your boy should be 4-0.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Your boy should be 4-0.
Hand grades and horseshoes.
They got me on, oh, you didn't answer that in the form of a question in the first time around. It's like, I haven't watched Jeopardy in 7 years.
That's how the game works.
And last week, you know, it was – I heard through the grapevine, Steiny, that Guru was basically given an answer because they felt sorry for him. But I'm not going to – that's all I'll say.
You're not going to talk about it like you did the last 2 minutes?
Not
going to
talk about it like that. No, not at
all. I lost my train of thought now because I cannot believe
nobody, my dude.
I can't believe you. You're saying you should be 4-0. That's like Guru saying, Warriors should have won 5 in a row. Okay, all right. Yeah, they should have won 5, and they could be going on 6, right? Okay, Guru, I got you. That's what you just did. That's
and by
all
the way. My favorite part of last week was when you guys were discussing, I think it was Kolsky as a basketball player, and Steiny said, yeah, I could have him as my fifth guy. And Guru said, well, could you have me? And you basically said no, because you would never accept the role of fifth man. That is the most accurate depiction of Guru that I have ever seen, because I've played basketball with him, and he truly sees himself as a numero uno.
Real quick, fellas, before we sign off here, we've been talking about baseball all day. Breaking news from Jeff Passan of ESPN. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred tells Mike Greenberg, thank you, Shasky, that he's not confident there will be a 2020 baseball season. Unfortunately, Manfred said, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. This 5 days after he said, unequivocally, there will be a season.
This is his job. His job is to get these guys on the same page and find a way to work through it. His job is to be a steward of the game. I hate him.
I say Steiny. He's an idiot.
Quick thoughts, Steiny, before we sign off.
I don't mind that he's saying that now, but now you mind what he said 5 days ago. He just shouldn't have said what he said 5 days ago.
What an idiot. Shasky, thanks so much for filling in. It was a lot of fun. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Steiny, talk to you tomorrow with our special mystery guest tomorrow. Up next, though, is Damon Radokowski. They'll take you up until 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Have a good one, everybody.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.